We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. After the Wars, Stories and Images of America's Combat Veterans is an exhibit of photographs and recorded interviews with 10 combat veterans of wars from World War II to Afghanistan. It was created by Milwaukee-based documentary photographer Paul Calhoun and his son Ben, who's a producer and contributor to the NPR series This American Life. The show documents the stories of some of America's combat veterans that might not otherwise be heard or even told. It's currently on view at the Unitarian Universalist Church West in Elm Grove in the church's community room art gallery. Both Calhouns, along with Dennis Johnson, who is one of the profiled veterans and also the director for the Milwaukee Homeless Veterans Services, joined me in the studio to talk about the exhibit. Ben Calhoun explains the project's genesis.
It really came out of conversations that I was having with my dad, watching the wars that the country was engaged in, a few years ago, and thinking about and seeing the new waves of veterans who are coming back and talking about the experiences that they were having coming home and feeling like there was a story to be told about the different generations of veterans from different conflicts that this country has been engaged in, and what might be the common denominators between their experiences, how they might differ, and wanting to do something in multimedia that would encapsulate what their experiences had been like, all the unique stories, from one person to another, and then also the things that they really shared.
How did you find the veterans? I mean, were they interested in sharing their stories?
That was really one of the more difficult things in the process. And I really did, I think, a lot of the looking for the veterans. And Ben found some in Chicago and found a Vietnam vet in Indiana. But I went to the VA hospital. I went to, I met Dennis at a facility for homeless people. And so it was a long search. And part of the problem is that when you're looking for people who are going to do oral history types of things, not only do they need to have an interesting story to tell, but also be able to articulate that in an interesting way.
We wanted the project to be regional in scope and to be, widely varied, not just over different generations of veterans, but also demographically varied, to try and sort of encapsulate a lot of dimensions of this part of the American experience.
Well, and also you talked about multimedia. You've got photographs, you've got oral histories that people can listen to. This is sort of an entire experience. Was the idea to bring somebody in, a viewer, a listener in a more holistic way into this experience that they might not get if they just read about it?
Well, I think the words to me are really the heart of the exhibit. And I think the way that it's set up is that all the interviews are on CDs so that people listen on headphones, so that the experience of listening to particular veterans' experience becomes much more intimate. And when we had the large opening in Chicago, was interesting about that. And for anybody that's been to an art opening, you know that they're mostly conversation and wine and cheese, et cetera. Well, the opening in Chicago was pretty much silent, mostly because people had to, in order to listen to the interviews, had to have headphones on. So it's difficult to listen and also talk to another person. But I think it really contributes to the strength of the exhibit and also the directness of the experience of these veterans. So that you're really hearing one human being talking about their experience in a very intimate way.
But then there's also your photographs as well, which are incredibly powerful.
Well, I think they give a sense also of the reality of current day lives now. In other words, I've been interviewed the veterans, and then I went and pretty much followed them throughout their daily experience. It was just quite different than a combat experience, which I think brings another dimension to that. Because in a lot of ways, the interviews are about not only the combat experience, but how people have adapted to civilian life after the conflicts that they were in. One of the veterans that Ben interviewed was Irving Glick, who recently passed away, a World War II veteran who spent 27 months in a prisoner of war camp in Germany, actually the prisoner of war camp that, for older listeners, The Great Escape was made about. And he was one of the people who walked out into the yard with dirt in his pockets as they tunneled out. And he had never talked about that experience with his children until actually Schindler's List came out, because he was Jewish. And when he was shot down over North Africa, he tore off his dog tags and threw them away and managed through that whole prisoner of war experience to hide the fact that he was Jewish. It's a remarkable story. And came back and lived pretty much a normal life as a businessman. He became the owner of a bottling company. But his children recognized behavior in him although they didn't know what it was about. But every evening when he came home from work, he used to pace back and forth in front of the house, and they never understood why he was doing that. And it was as if he was in prison still, walking back to a particular barrier and then turning around and walking back the other way.
Well, Dennis, bringing you in on the conversation now, you work with homeless vets, and unfortunately that seems to be one of the big things that's happened with this. I don't know if it's this most recent crop of wars. I know maybe Vietnam was the first time that we really started seeing a lot of homelessness in veteran populations. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to be a more modern problem.
Well, I think the problem is probably always been there. It's just a different way, and you know, different generations have dealt with it differently. You know, the World War II vets, it was mostly keeping it to themselves. I mean, just like that story, how often I've heard of children not knowing a thing about, you know, what their parent did in World War II, Vietnam. You know, the PTSD was kind of finally diagnosed or named, just a different, I mean, it's always been there. When you experience the insanity of a combat, it affects your whole life. When I retired, my thought was just to do something that gave back to veterans in a way, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. But this has been a real learning experience and a learning about homelessness in general and then veterans.
And what does an exhibit like this do, do you think, for the veterans that you serve?
To begin with, I had to go through my thing of healing, and this is my way of healing all of this, even telling stories of experience where you don't believe anyone really can listen to you and not think you're evil or crazy or something, you know, of the things you experience. Getting these kind of stories out there, veterans relate more to other veterans, where somebody might be holding something inside of them, thinking that, what kind of person am I? I'm the only one who ever did this. You know, each veteran has their own experience and their own story, but knowing that there are other veterans that they can talk to on the same level, you know, that have experienced something like that, it's really the way to healing is just getting it out from inside you.
So, Ben, when you first thought about doing this, was that kind of the foremost driver for you? Or just was it these stories were just interesting enough that you wanted to get them out there?
Well, I feel like just in a way of hearing people's stories and feeling like they were important to ask about was the kernel of it. But per what Dennis is saying, I was really struck by how across all these generations of veterans, there was a common feeling of feeling like their stories had been unheard. And that held true for people from World War II who were greeted as heroes when they came home, and Vietnam veterans who came home and were greeted rather poorly. But there was a common denominator of people feeling like of not being asked, of not being heard, and of not being able to express clearly what this experience had been like for them. And as the project went on, I know that for me, it became a huge motivator to try and create the most loyal version of people's stories in an intimate way that they really gave me the privilege of hearing and capturing.
You know, we ask our service people to fight for us and, you know, to actually honor them by listening to the stories when they come back seems to be to be a no-brainer. But I wonder if that's changed. If we're more receptive as non-military folks, you know, the people back home, if we're more receptive to actually hearing these stories and understanding what we're asking our service people to do. Do you think that might be true?
I think within the context of this exhibit, I think some of the stories are very, very difficult to listen to. And I don't know that everyone wants to hear what soldiers actually go through and do and their experience coming home. One of the veterans that we worked with in Chicago, his name was Angel Montez, and he was part of a Marine unit in Iraq. And every Memorial Day, that unit comes together from all over the country. and they had a reunion in Chicago of that unit. And almost universally what they said, why this experience was so valuable for them, because they didn't feel like throughout their daily life they could talk to anyone about their experiences other than the people that they had served in Iraq with. There was a bond that they had developed during that time. And the other thing that was interesting about this unit is, to a person, they had been diagnosed with PTSD. I was there. It was 2 days long, and it was a lot of food and a lot of drinking and a lot of this and that. But you just come to see not only that in fact, people were having fun. I'm not going to say they weren't, but there was a lot of pain that was being expressed on the part of all of them.
And they welcomed you to this. They allowed you in.
Oh, yeah. I was there photographing for probably 5 to 6 hours both days on a Friday and a Saturday. You know, a lot of times we hear the cliches, they fought for our freedom, and we thank them for their service. But it goes much deeper than that. We're talking about a lifetime that's been changed by what they've done in the service.
You know, the fact that last year there was a higher suicide rate among military than combat deaths, I mean, that speaks volumes of what's going on now with the young guys.
There's an intimacy to the emotional dimensions of the stories that people come back with that doesn't really have an outlet in a lot of the ways that we talk about receiving people and, you know, and honoring people when they come home. I think parades are one thing, and I'm sure that we've seen people rightfully thank service men and women, you know, at the airport or when they see them in uniform. But in terms of the stories that I think the exhibit was trying to get at and the story that I feel like a lot of veterans have to tell, there's an intimacy to that. It doesn't have a place in those ways of receiving people when they come home, that there's a more complicated story that they have to tell and that we were trying to give a base to exist with the show.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in, and Ben, for joining us on the line from New York. I appreciate all of your time.
Thanks for highlighting the work.
Thank you.
Paul Calhoun is a freelance photographer and teacher. His son, Ben Calhoun, is a producer for This American Life. And Dennis Johnson is a subject of the documentary, as well as director for Milwaukee's Homeless Veterans Services. The exhibit, After the Wars, is currently on view at the Unitarian Universalist Church West in Elm Grove through May 30th. There's a link to more information at WUWM.com. You'll also find a selection there of three of the audio interviews the team did with veterans, including a portion of Dennis Johnson's story. That is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.